Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour, the first day of March. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us. In studio with us is a returning guest. It took me 2 years to find him, but I'm glad I finally did. His name is Joshua Barr. He is the director of the Des Moines Human and Civil Rights Commission. Joshua, welcome back. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the invite. It took you 2 years to find me, but now I've been back twice in less than, I think, almost less than a month. So that feels good. Thank you for the invite.
Just keep on having the door open for you, sir.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Before we get into talking about Blueprint for Building Community, we had a news story this week, Joshua, and I know that you probably heard about it, where U.S. News and World Report indicated that Iowa was the best state in the nation among a whole bunch of metrics, you know, great education, great healthcare, great, everything. The number one, and business groups from Dubuque to Omaha, or Dubuque to Council Bluffs, and from Mason City down to Lamoni, were all going, hey, we done good. Patting themselves on the back and saying, hey, this is great news. And it is great news. But you told me a story when you first came here about 30 days ago or so, that when they first interviewed you for this job, they flew you out here and they wined and dined you and showed you all the cool places in Des Moines. And you said, I'm not coming to work here because you guys got everything done.
Right. That's exactly what happened. And the reason why I think they do that is because they want to sell you on the good stuff. But there's always things beneath the surface. And that's why I never get too caught up on any report, whether bad or good, because I know there's always more than meets the eye. And in this work, even if you state that Iowa is the best, and I'm not going to refute that now, but I just say there's always room for improvement. I'm from South Carolina, and coming from Iowa to South Carolina, I do see there is some good here, much better, especially for a black person like me leaving the South, coming to the Midwest. I do see some area for opportunity. I've even told some family members, hey, y'all might want to think about leaving South Carolina. There's a little bit more opportunity for us. But that being said, there are a lot of issues beneath the surface that aren't getting addressed. You talked about the U.S. News report, but I believe the Iowa Business Coalition came out with a report probably 2 weeks before that.
Right.
And someplace they gave us an average score. In diversity and demographics, we had a poor. So there are a lot of areas that we can improve upon. And I think if you compile all these reports together, you'll see that some of them say we're good, some of them say we're not so good. But I believe the truth is somewhere right in the middle. And I think you can never really stop progressing. There's always areas for improvement. And I will never stop working to improve, because if Iowa is the best state, then people like me just don't, they don't need to be here.
Right.
But if you look at Des Moines, we have a lot of food pantries. We have a lot of other issues. And I'm not trying to pile on or be a buzzkill, a joy kill. I'm just stating reality. And reality is, when you look here in the city of Des Moines, we do have some issues regarding poverty. We have some issues regarding education. We have some issues regarding people being able to move up the socioeconomic ladder. So just because you're number one, you know, we always say in South Carolina, thank God for Mississippi, or we'd always be at the end. And once again, there's always areas for improvement.
And nobody wants to disparage something, some good news like this. But I think your words are absolutely right on. There is room for improvement. And if we don't see it that way, then we step back and say, hey, mission accomplished.
Yeah, we don't need to do anything.
Yeah,
yes.
We got it done.
And I think that's the wrong approach. I think, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. It makes better. So we have to keep practicing to improve upon ourselves. I wake up every morning trying to do better than I did the day before, both as a civil and human rights director, but more so as a husband, because I was a peace. And I know that I can never, ever get comfortable in my position, because when you get comfortable, that's when people come up and take that number one spot.
I understand. We're talking about those very things today, because you've got a program coming up. It's called Blueprint to Building Community, and that's coming up on the 14th of March. Tell us about this. What are you trying to do?
All right. That's a great question. Well, first of all, let me start by saying last year was the first year that as director, I kind of led the Civil and Human Rights Symposium. This is the 32nd year. And last year we had 500 people attend. And last year's theme was Poverty Affects Us All. and emphasis on the all, because I think we're all in this fight together, whether you recognize it or not. Community just means common unity. And what's our unity? We're all human beings living in the same space known as Des Moines or known as Iowa. So this year we really wanted to focus on helping people build a better community. But the problem is we're all here, there, everywhere. But if you really want to build something and build something long lasting, especially something like a community, or in the analogy I'll give you, a house, you first have to analyze the situation. Where are we? Analyze those things, even the things from the U.S. News report. Where are we in regards to economics? Where are we in regards to inclusion? Where are we in regards to poverty? Where are we in regards to our laws and politics? Where are we in regard to getting to know our neighbor? And once we have, once we survey the situation, then we need to lay up solid foundation of what we want to build upon. Because if you have a solid, if you have a foundation that's cracked or lopsided, the building's going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to have to do a lot of repair, spending time to repair something. And they always say it's easier to build strong children than fix broken men. And I think this is the same thing in regards to community. So once you have that, survey the situation, build a foundation, develop a solid structure, then only then can you hand the keys to community. So we're trying to construct a blueprint. And what we believe is, we believe that if you really want to build a community, you have to eliminate systemic racism, which is the original sin of the United States of America. You have to be truly inclusive and allow persons to really not just be on the team, but actually play on the team. You have to really strive to improve, alleviate poverty and improve economics. You have to have just laws. You must, on a personal level, get to know your neighbor, which leads to developing empathy. And I just laid out all the tracks. Those That's are all right. the tracks that we have.
All right, let's start with track number one.
Okay.
Eliminating racism.
All right.
All right. Okay, how? You know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start?
Oh man,
where do you start? Is it by calling it out when you see it? Is it by not participating in that? Is it in your business or in your community or in your church or in your synagogue or your mosque? Is that where this? How do you do it? Where do you start?
I think that's a good question. I think that's a great question, actually, and I believe it really starts on a local level, whether it's in your neighborhood, your school district, or your town. If you look at the civil rights movements of the 1960s and 70s, they were actually local movements and the federal government got involved. Bull Connor from Birmingham, Alabama, was the commissioner of public safety. And that was on a local level. Mm-hmm. The issue in Selma was a local issue. And you have to really start locally, which is why we're doing it right here in Des Moines, and saying, what are the issues that we have? And then what's our role as citizens in fixing it? I think it always starts at the local level, grassroots, building from the ground up, because we have three branches of government: legislative, executive, judicial. But if the roots aren't strong, then the roots are the people. If the roots aren't strong, the tree is going to fall apart. So it starts, first of all, looking at yourself. And then when I say locally, I mean locally yourself, right, realizing, what are the things that I have that are holding me back or causing me to be biased or hold other people down? Then once I look at myself, I branch out and grab on to the people in my circle. And as a circle, we just keep building this fire that keeps growing bigger and bigger and bigger, from your friends to your neighborhood, to your town, to your school district, to your state. And it just keeps growing. But so it starts with you first.
It is a personal be a light unto the world.
Yes. Right? Yes. Very much so.
Yeah, and if you take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at building the blueprint, building a community, are you going to give tools to talk about this? Is that, you know, because when you build something, mm-hmm, you start with a blueprint,
right,
but then you got to have tools to build,
right,
this thing.
Yeah, and that's what we're really trying to do. Each track builds on one another. I talked about it a moment ago when you survey the situation. So mm-hmm, session one is really, where are we? Are we in a post-racial America in regards to eliminating racism? In regards to poverty and economics, what does poverty look like in Des Moines? So that's surveying the situation. Once you know that, you have to build a solid foundation. A solid foundation is founded in education, understanding what am I dealing with? Because I don't think people want to learn unless they first know why they need to learn something. That's why you have to survey it first. And then once you have a structure in place for eliminating racism, we have track number three, which is on building developing that solid structure. the workshop for that one is how racism is perpetuated in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
And really,
so we've identified
yes.
it. Now we're starting to peel it back
yes.
a little bit
yes.
to find out, okay, these are things, systemic things that are going on
yes,
right now.
Very much so.
And that then would give us the tools to go fix
yes,
it.
Yes, right. And then we end with the key, and the key is the role that we play in eliminating racism. We all have a role to play. And that's done by Eddie Moore, who is from ISU, is a PhD from ISU. And he'll be presenting, giving people the tools and steps that they can take on a personal level. Once you understand the situation, once you understand the structural and institutional racism, this is what the role you can play in eliminating that.
That's the voice of Joshua Barr, ladies and gentlemen. He's the director of the Des Moines Human and Civil Rights Commission here in town. And all of these tracks, what's really interesting about this is how pricey this is to go to. I mean, you know, you're really soaking people here, Joshua. $4?
Yeah. Well, we really wanted to be as accessible as possible to everyone. And even then, if you look at the very bottom of the flyer, if there's a hardship for $4, you can just email us and let us know. And I think that is one of the things that we really wanted to be accessible to everyone. Sometimes you go to these conferences and the conference is $200-$300 and you can't afford to go to it, but it'll be something that's beneficial to you or your community. In this case, we want it to be as low of a barrier as possible. For example, DART is going to give free rides to people who register to this event. So if you can't get there by car or by taxi, you can take a bus and DART will take you to Des Moines University. No charge.
All right. One of the issues with many of these types of programs, mm-hmm. Joshua, and being very frank, is that sometimes we're talking to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are committed to eliminating racism, those of us who are committed to equal justice, those of us who are committed to voting rights, those of us who are committed to all of those things mm-hmm. that are progressive issues, we end up going to these things and talking to ourselves.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's the biggest problem we have really tried to work with here in the city of Des Moines. Des Moines is predominantly white, and a lot of times we do this event and you have a bunch of liberal white people to show up, and they're already in. We're trying to really branch out. That's one reason why when we do the power panel at the end of the day, we open the door to Republicans to speak. Last year we had Robert Brunell that was part of that, and he gave his voice, because I don't believe no side is innocent. I think we all have to work at this together.
Right.
We have to work at this together. And I think we reached out to some business partners in the community, such as Wesley Life, the city of West Des Moines, a few other employers to Newberry Living. They're paying for their employees to come because they all play a role in
Absolutely.
A lot of these things that are happening on a day-to-day basis that prevent people from moving up the socioeconomic ladder.
How about local governments, individuals who, you know, because those are nonpartisan issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, the city council of Urbandale
mm-hmm.
or West Des Moines or Windsor Heights or Johnston, you know, asking those folks if they'd like to come and spend some time.
Well, we reached out to as many people as possible.
Okay.
West Des Moines actually contacted us and was willing to pay for their employees to come. Which I appreciate. So, and City of Des Moines has covered their employees as well to attend, allowing them to on a work day to get credit to come to our event. So yes, we extended the invitation to any and everyone. We have people coming as far as Dubuque, Davenport,
really?
Sioux City as well. So it's become a statewide event. Pretty much.
Fabulous. And this is March 14th. It's a long day. It's 7:30 until 5:30. We're going to take naps?
Well, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that. We end the day with the power panel. It starts at 4:30. It runs from 4:30 to 5:20, where we have members, elected officials, and executive officers. This year, Chris Coleman of the Des Moines City Council, Terry Caldwell Johnson, Des Moines Public School Board, Rob Barron, Des Moines Public School Board, Tom Hawkins-Smith, Polk County Supervisor, mm-hmm. as well as Mary Bontrager, one of the executive vice presidents at Greater Des Moines Partnership, talking about what is the government's role in helping to build community. We end the day with that because you're about to be inundated with all this information and you need to ask some questions to the people you put in power. So this is the time to do that. We actually, last year we had 5 sessions per track. This year
wow.
we did 4 and gave each additional track 15 minutes. So we really were trying to jam pack a day. I prefer to do 2 days, but my committee was like, nah, 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 just one. And I'm not faulting them for that. I do agree with their point. So,
but you see, we get hotel motel dollars if people come and stay.
You know, I'll try to use that next year, especially if this March 6th vote happens. So that's actually a good point. But we're trying to we're jam packing a day, and we're actually giving everybody. Most of you go to a conference, you have breakfast and lunch, but we're actually giving you an afternoon snack too. To entice you to stay.
Got a snack?
Yeah, so we give you an afternoon snack as well. So we'll take care of you, we'll feed you, and we're really striving to get as many people as possible. We have for lawyers, there's a CLE credit. You get 5 credits for that. There's a social work credit as well. The Des Moines Board of Realtors are paying or are giving credits for their persons who attend as well. So we're trying to get as many parties involved in this event.
Now, this is March 1st. Today is March 1st. How long will you take applications or registration?
Well, general registration is until March 4th,
okay.
And then we have late registration. But the problem with that is late registration, we're capping it at 600, and right now we're at about 530. So if people want to come, they need to sign up now because there is no guarantee that there will be seats available after March 4th.
That's a fascinating number.
Yes.
Now, just think about that, Joshua. If 2/3 of those people are empowered to go out there and start to build community mm-hmm. around these issues, that's a powerful army.
Hey, that's the goal. That's the goal. There is no one person can change the world. It takes an active group of concentrated and concerned individuals to do it. And we hope to start building on some of that change with this event.
Joshua Barr, ladies and gentlemen, we will have links to how you can register up on the radio blog. And all of this, if you missed any or all of this conversation, we will have that up on our podcast as well. Joshua, good to see you again.
All right. Thank you. I hope to be back soon.
Come back.
All right. I definitely will.
All right. We're going to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you it was not a good day. The president said, hey, you know what? We ought to start putting tariffs on steel and aluminum. And everything went to pot. We will have that story coming up for you next as we take a look at the Wall Street Report on the Business News Hour.